You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm a flower essence trainer and a flower essence practitioner, and my passion is helping people create more peace and more joy, both in their personal lives and in their business lives, through connecting back to nature. My tools are flower essences and all different kinds of vibrational essences and essential oils. And my life was completely changed by using these tools myself. I have so much gratitude towards the Nature Kingdom for helping me make this shift. And I'm continually humbled by how easy this can be when we use the tools of nature. So today's program is all about the heart and all about living from the heart. And I'm joined today by life coach and author Owen McCabe. And Owen is going to talk to us about the importance of being in the heart and how life-changing this can be, and actually how easy it is to make this what is actually quite a small shift and one that's accessible to absolutely everybody. And yet at the same time, how huge this is in its possibility to change all aspects of us on all levels. So do you live from your head or do you live from your heart? For many of us, our default position is actually from our head, and certainly the world around us operates from a headspace much of the time. How much pleasure and how much joy is there in your life, both in your personal life and in the work that you do? Are you open to finding out more? I really hope so, and that you will stay tuned to us for the rest of today's Nature Connections show. I'm going to be sharing with you some flower essences and some essential oils that can help you really easily stay more connected to your heart, and also inspire you to make this small shift which will help you change everything in your life. So please stay tuned. I will be back very shortly talking to Owen. You're listening to the Nature Connection show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connections show. My guest today is Owen McCabe. Owen is a coach, a speaker, and author, and one of Ireland's first life coaches. So welcome to Nature Connections, Owen.
It's great to be here, Sarah. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you and your listeners today. Looking forward to it.
Yes, so I'm really happy to be talking to you. What you do is really congruent with all that I do and really opening to our own inner nature. And so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you and the kind of work you do? And I always think it's really interesting for people to hear how you first began doing this work as well. What called you into working with the heart?
Okay, yeah, sure. I guess I can trace it back to when I was maybe about 16 years of age. I came across this book. It was called Your Erroneous Zones. When I was buying it, I thought it was something else. But I ended up reading it anyway, and I actually found it fascinating. And it was a book by Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it got me into the whole world of personal development. So from the age of 16, I became fascinated with psychology and the mind and how we can be, I suppose, more of who we really are. And that never left me, that passion for personal development. So I in my later years, went on to become a teacher and a careers teacher, a career guidance counselor, work with adults, and at some point I decided I needed to broaden out my skill set to be able to work with adults at a much deeper level than just on their careers, because a lot of them were coming with problems that had nothing to do with work really. It was much more personal than that. And I was looking at psychotherapy as a training, but I came across at the time this course called life coaching, and I had never heard of it before. This was about 12-13 years ago, and I decided I liked the sound of it, so I went ahead and did it. And on the back of that course, my life really started to change dramatically afterwards. I got so much from the program, and I learned so much about myself and life, and what's possible and what's not possible, that I just it was like I met that 16-year-old again, and everything took on a whole new direction for me. Since that time, I went on to set up a company and training specifically in personal development and in coaching. And that became very successful, and established myself as a coach as well, and have been doing that for 12 years and loving it, I have to say. But the actual focus on the heart work has been something that has become pretty much a mission of mine, really, in the last number of years. And what galvanized it for me, really, was a marriage breakup back in around the mid-2000s. And that was a harrowing and traumatic experience for both of us. There was no children involved, but it was still a painful experience. And what it did for me was it basically broke me open in terms of pulling me or throwing me into my heart, and probably for one of the first times in my life, I was about 35, 36 at the time, I realized what it meant to be connected to the heart, to be in the heart. And it was that experience that actually led to the marriage breakup. Now there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the essence of it. And since that time, again, things have taken a huge shift, and the quality of my work has deepened and transformed, as has my own life. And I'm in a new relationship with a 5-year-old boy, a very loving family and a real family, and that is very much down to the fact that I have become much more heart-centered, albeit through a painful experience. But that's the way life seems to teach us. If life was easy, we could all be lying on the couch having a couple of beers or something, but it's not. That's not going to be an option, really. So it's about really, I suppose, facing the difficulties, challenges, and traumas that we have in our life, and learning from them, as opposed to staying a victim to them.
Yeah, so what strikes me as I listen to you is that even from a very young age, you were somebody who loved to help and to advise people. And you've always been on this track, haven't you, of guiding and advising people?
Yeah, I have.
There's always a thread that runs through our lives, and that's yours.
Very definitely.
And I also like your expression of hearts breaking open. I have heard that expression before. Because often when we hear the words heartbroken, or the word heart and the word break have always been put together, but they've all often have a kind of negative connotation. But you're actually taking that experience and making it positive, aren't you?
That's one of the choices we have in life, in terms of what happens to us, how we decide to respond to it. And you know, heartbreaking incidents are painful, but they're not necessarily life threatening, unless we hold on to the pain and sort of get lost in that pain and the whole sort of poor me syndrome that accompanies that. And that's debilitating and just a very tough space to stay in, But if we decide that instead of hurting ourselves continuously over that we're going to learn from it and become stronger, then that's a life-affirming choice. And it's what builds the heart and makes it stronger. And the heart has that capacity to overcome pretty much anything if we're willing to allow it to happen. And so your heart breaking is really just an opportunity for you to grow in life and become much stronger. So it's never something to be afraid of.
Yeah, so that is a very powerful statement and sentences that you've said there, that any moment we do have a choice as to what we do with what's happening. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that, because I think as the part of being human is to being in our heads, the opposite of being in our hearts. It's the world we live in. So it's, for many of us, it's kind of a default position, even if we should know better, should in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So when we find ourselves in our heads, how can we make that shift? How can we take that opportunity to shift it? And how would we know if we are in our heads?
Okay, well, I suppose I'll answer that last part first. There are many clues or signs or indicators of when we're in our head. I suppose the obvious one is if we're overthinking or overanalyzing or worrying. Basically thinking too much, you know, that's a clear sign of being in the head. So too is being focused on fear. If we're stuck in fear or worrying, if we're being sarcastic or cynical, if we're being negative or self-critical or indeed criticizing others, when we're being judgmental or trying to be right, trying to win an argument, being defensive, attacking, not feeling confident, making assumptions, not listening, feeling a victim, feeling sorry for ourselves, or blaming others, giving out, or complaining. These are all indicators of head-based, head-rooted activities and consequences of being in the head. Being attached to things, being not letting go, being addicted to gossip and drama, bullying or even being bullied. These are all very much head activities and the consequences of being in the head. And of course, you know, the consequence of all that is a tightness or a tension in the body. And we may or may not be aware of that tension or tightness. It may take several hours or even weeks or year, in some cases years later before we realize that we have been holding our body in a very tense way for quite a while because we've been in our head so much. And hence we can suffer from illnesses and bad backs and aches and pains and even, you know, in extreme cases further down the line, heart attack, strokes, if we really are cut off from our hearts and our bodies. So the idea of being almost living at a distance from our bodies in terms of just staying in our heads, it's very much a default setting. It's something that we consider to be normal, but it's actually quite dysfunctional and very, very harmful to our physical and emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. So when we do catch ourselves doing any of those things, you know, we need to I suppose cop ourselves on, and to put it bluntly, and realize that there's a better way, and the better way is to choose to step into our heart space and to respond to whatever's going on around us from that space. And the way you know when you're in your heart space is you become aware of your body. You can physically you're in your body and you feel what's going on inside your body, be it aches and pains or tension, tightness or relaxing or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just that you're actually feeling. That's a key thing. And also, you know, being in your heart obviously will be associated with feeling warmth and love for something or someone. They're clear indicators of being in the heart. But so too are things such as a willingness to engage, a willingness to forgive, choosing to listen, choosing to trust, being very supportive. being very patient, empathizing, showing affection, physical, emotional affection, and even indulging in real creativity and laughter, and fun, and joy, playfulness, lightheartedness. All these are the consequences of and ways into the heart. So when you meet your meet someone walking down the street, and this is a person who you have had a checkered history with. Sometimes you can sort of love or hate them, that type of person, and literally that's the case with everyone. We can choose to love or hate them. We can choose to love them or not love them, and that's always the choice we have. And rather than waiting for them to say the right thing or do the right thing before we decide to love them, we make it much easier for ourselves and make life far easier for us if we just choose to love them because they're there, and that's the only reason that's needed. The fact that they're there in front of us is reason enough to love the person, and in doing that we are automatically loving ourselves in the process of loving another. So it's very healing, it's very therapeutic. And it's equally so for the person that we're loving in the moment as well. So getting into that mindset involves practice, a willingness to try something new like this, a bit of a risk because you're choosing to be what some people might term vulnerable, and yet in our vulnerability is where our power and our strength actually resides. So it takes courage, and it takes a level of awareness to choose to be vulnerable, so as that we can actually really experience life in all its glory, and connect with people, and a willingness to connect, and happiness is ultimately about relationships, and a willingness to connect to people around us, rather than waiting for people to connect with us first. I mean, that's just playing mind games, and it, no one wins doing that sort of thing. And to answer that, and how do we get into the heart? So another way is to use the breath and just picture ourselves or visualize the heart and actually breathing into the heart, that heart space, either the heart organ or the heart, the center of the chest. Just picture the breathing, our breathing into that space, and that brings us that we're automatically then going into that space, and we're grounding ourselves and becoming much more present to ourselves and to the moment and to those around us, and that's one very easy and automatic way of coming into the heart. And as I said, another easy way is to have a good laugh. Find people, hang around with people, or watch something, or read something that actually brings a real smile to your face and helps you have a really good laugh. And in the moment of really laughing, your heart automatically opens. It can't but open when we really, really laugh. So fun and lightness are ways in as well. And as I say, choosing to love, just simply to love. And it could be just your dog or cat, doesn't matter, or out in nature as you'd know. But it's just choosing to fall into that space of love. That's available to us all the time.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Yeah, so I think it's something that we all have access to, and it does take sometimes a little bit of reflection and self-awareness, and this always changes and always grows whoever we are, but we all have something or some things that bring us back to that space, don't we? And as you've mentioned, some of the breath is a great way because it's quick, it's easy, we can do it absolutely anywhere, we're not drawing attention to ourselves in any way if we do that. As you say, I use nature. Many people use exercise, as you say, laughing. There's all different ways, isn't it? So it's really finding that way that works for us.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, exercise is a good one, but and for some people, it's music.
Yes.
Creativity in all its forms are ways into the heart as well. A good movie, really some so there are some beautiful movies that really move, that really move the person, in terms of the story, some, and books. So there are many ways, absolutely many ways into the heart, and it really is whatever brings the person joy, ultimately, and doing work that I suppose sets a person on fire, that lights them up, be it paid or voluntary or as a hobby, just following the heart in that sense, and having the I suppose trusting themselves even just a little bit to actually take a couple of steps in terms of following the heart in the world of work or something parallel to the world of work like unpaid or hobbies, that can be a starting point for people, and then of course starting looking at the relationship, your own relationship with yourself. One thing I say to people is if you if I were if I was to hang around with you for the day, and if I was to speak to you in the way that the negative voice in your head speaks to you, would you let me hang around with you for the day, or what would you do to me? And invariably, the person would tell me that they'd get rid of me pretty quickly, but yet they put up with the negative voice in their own heads, and they very often believe what they hear in their own heads, and it's and of course that creates a very toxic relationship. The relationship with themselves is very detrimental to their own mental, physical, and emotional well-being, and all they have to do is remember that actually, at the center of them, at the heart of them is their heart, and that's the most powerful organ they have in their body, and if they were to spend more time being heart-centered, then they will learn to fall in love with themselves again in a very practical way. And that would play out in terms of improvement in diet, improvement in health and well-being, improvement in the relationships with others, because the relationships with others can only mirror the quality of the relationship with themselves. And so people tend to spend too much time trying to fix or change people around them and improve the relationships with those around them without ever paying any attention to the relationship with themselves. And that's the key. If the relationship with themselves is limited or damaged in any way, it can't but be mirrored in the relationships they have with those around them. So, if people were to start really paying attention to how they relate to themselves and how they treat themselves, both in terms of how they talk to themselves and how much time they give themselves to rest and to do things they enjoy, and to take risks in life, doing what they would love to do, and learning, and not being afraid of failure, and all that stuff. Like they'd encourage a child, they need to encourage themselves in the same way. So that's all heart stuff. That's all heart work.
And it often goes against what we're taught at school, the advice that is given to us by sort of more institutionalized places. And the rational advice, and just the very word rational, shows us that it's mind-based, doesn't it? So we do need to be very, courage comes to mind. It takes great courage.
It really, really does, because it can seem like you're going against the grain, you're going against society, against the norm, and deep down everyone wants this. Deep down everyone wants to be heart-centered, and most people, a lot of people anyway, believe they don't know how. And the madness of that is that they do know how, because they were doing it right up until their early, well, probably up to before they became a teenager. They were doing it right through their childhood. They were naturally heart-centered. So we all know how to do this. There's no mystery to it. And the head doesn't know how. But we stay stuck in the head if we spend time trying to figure out how, because all that means is you're still thinking. So you're still in the head thinking about how to be in the heart, but the only thing you're not doing is being in the heart, because you're still in the head thinking. So it's a nice catch-22. And as a former teacher, I couldn't agree more that our education system, and then the world of work and media, they're all about encouraging us to stay in the head. Because when we're in the head, we're easily influenced. We're easily manipulated. And our buttons can be pushed in various ways to keep us buying and keep us in the treadmill of society and the world of fashion and the next trend and the new thing to do or be or have or get. So it's that consumerism just on never ending as long as we stay in the head. Whereas, you know, as a consequence, then we end up with more than we need, less time with people, and less time for ourselves. Our health suffers, and you know the consequences of that head based living are pretty dire. And in extreme cases, people just find they can't cope, and they harm themselves or kill themselves. You know, in extreme cases, so. Mm-hmm. Consequences are pretty awful for those of us who remain headlocked and disconnected from our hearts.
So it's so important, isn't it, to surround ourselves in all different ways with very heart-centered energies, and that can literally just mean turning off the TV or something that simple.
Yeah, getting outside, going for a walk, you know, picking up the phone, talking to someone who you're close to or whose company you enjoy, or, you know, spending quality time with a pet. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Would you talk to us a little bit about the energy of the heart? Because I know it has from the work that I do and the Heart Maths Institute, there's a lot of research been done into the huge scope of the heart.
It's incredible, really. I mean, the heart is now known that the heart is by far the most powerful and strongest organ in the body. Its electrical impulse can be measured 3 to 4 feet from the body, and it's easily 60 times stronger than the brain. Electromagnetically, it's potentially a couple of thousand times stronger than the brain. So it is the most powerful organ in the body, and it has a range of functions. It's not just a pump. It's also involved in producing life-enhancing chemicals that prevent or certainly reduce aging. Well, it doesn't prevent, but it certainly reduces aging. It has an anti-aging impact, and it and other hormones that help produce and help reinforce or strengthen the immune system. It also plays a role in healing the body's systems as well. And there's far more information traveling from the heart to the brain than from the brain to the heart. So the brain takes its lead from the heart. And of course, it's now known that the heart has its own actual brain within it, and it has its own nervous system. And one of the things about the heart is that all our emotions are processed and felt through the heart, but also processed through the heart. And it's going back to what I was saying earlier about about being too much in the head and focused too much on fear and negativity. You know, what accompanies that is emotions such as frustration, anger, rage, you know, and fear itself. All these type of emotions are actually quite destructive to the actual physical structure of the heart. When we feel those emotions, when we create and experience those emotions, particularly on a regular basis, we're actually interfering with the heart rate and the heartbeat and the resonance of the heart, and it becomes quite disjointed, and as a result, it actually physically weakens. It physically actually weakens the heart wall. Whereas when we choose to feel more harmony, more harmonic, if you like, feelings of love, joy, peace, acceptance, forgiveness, all these emotions are much more life-affirming, and they actually strengthen the heart wall. So there's a physical impact that these emotions have, and and every emotion has an impact, and no emotion is neutral. So the emotion is either life-affirming, it's either boosting our immune system, it's strengthening our physical heart, or it's doing the very opposite. So the heart takes it really is a sort of a clear indicator of our health in any given moment, because it takes everything on board and everything passes through the heart in an energetic sense, at least. So it's a very, very powerful organ, and it is actually more in charge of the body than the brain ever was. And it's accepted now as being the lead organ in the body on many levels and for many reasons.
Wonderful. Yes, well, it's so important to hear your words, and it's so important to continually remind ourselves of this information. So thank you for sharing this with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I know people can connect with you in many different ways. So would you like to tell everybody how they can find out more about you, get hold of your ebook and your actual physical book? And I know that you're somebody that you do weekly videos. So please tell everybody how they can keep up this connection with you in order to help them keep their hearts open.
So on my website, which is my name, owenmccabe.com, people can sign up to the weekly video blog, and they will get a free ebook as a thank you for doing that. And it goes into everything we've talked about in much greater detail in this ebook. The video blog then goes out on a weekly basis on the website and on my YouTube account. They can connect with me on Twitter at Owen McCabe and Facebook Owen McCabe. So they're all avenues into this body of work, if you like. And then my own book called Open is available on Amazon and many other online formats. So it's available in paperback and also in Kindle electronic format. And also, there's details of that on my website as well. Mm-hmm. So again, it's everything is under my own name, owenmccabe.com, owenmccabe.com.
And you also offer you give talks, and you offer coaching as well, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, one to one coaching and group coaching, and doing a lot of speaking for corporates and just general public and across the board. It's one of my passions, actually, is speaking. When I'm speaking in front of a group, I'm very much in my heart, because it's just the whole experience is just so enjoyable, and there's a real flow to it. I just love it. And they're all sort of very clear indicators of being in your heart when you're experiencing that type of stuff. So it's very much a passion of mine, speaking.
So for anybody that's listening right now, how would they know to come and find you to access some help? What's the kinds of areas that you help people with? And I know that could be absolutely everything is the answer to that, but maybe give us some ideas of the kinds of things that you help people with.
Okay. I guess a lot of people would one of the obvious areas that people come to me, because initially in the coaching world, my background was career coaching, and I would still see people in a sense around the career stuff. So you know, people can come to me if they're looking to explore what they would love to be doing. In other words, thinking about what maybe words that might come to mind would be life purpose or finding their passion or the work they were born to do. So I work with people in identifying that aspect of career work, as opposed to just, I don't do CVs and stuff like that. Other areas that would be a very strong body of work for me is working with people in terms of helping them improve or develop relationships with others. So people who are looking for love are finding love, are improving the relationships they're in. And then some people come knowing that their relationship with themselves are not what aren't what it could be. So they're coming purely to be coached on feeling better about themselves and being more confident, be more compassionate towards themselves, and have the courage and the conviction to actually follow their heart and to learn to live from the heart. So more and more, I'm getting people who are literally coming with that very clear agenda, which is fantastic. Because, as opposed to coming with a career issue or a relationship issue, and it turns out, so the underlying issue is really that I'm disconnected from myself. So more and more people are becoming aware that actually, the root problem is this, and I want to work on it. Yeah. But as you say, the issue could be anything. But the roots of the issues that manifest on the surface, the roots tend to be one of the very few small items that are common to us all.
Brilliant. Well, thank you again for sharing of yourself, all your words, all your wisdom. It's very nourishing to hear your words, and definitely just connecting with you, it really allows that energy to flow. So I'm sure everybody's really enjoyed this heart-opening experience. So if people are listening and don't have access to this in any written format, would you just like to spell your name out to everybody?
Yes. Owen is spelled E-O-I-N, and then my surname McCabe is M-C-C-A-B-E.
Brilliant. So it's owenmccabe.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Owen. Thank you,
Sarah,
very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
Sarah, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're very, very welcome. And I wish you... there's so much potential. I know you've already tapped into bucket loads of that, but it's very beautiful, the work that you're doing.
That's great to hear. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, Sarah. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. All the best. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio, with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome back to today's Nature Connection show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to today's Nature Connection show so far, and especially listening to Owen McCabe talking all about staying open and connected to our heart space. So for this second section of the show, we're going to continue talking about the heart and looking at three different ways of keeping flow through the heart chakra, and also looking at some flower essences and gem essences and essential oils that are very easy to incorporate into your life. Now, as always, please remember that flower essences and essential oils are not replacements for medical help. So if you are at all concerned about your physical, emotional, spiritual health, please remember to consult your doctor or natural health practitioner. Flower essences and essential oils are wonderful complements and can be very easily used alongside. So let's focus a little bit on the heart chakra. Now, when I'm doing this kind of work, even really just in a more general sense in the way that we're doing right now, it's always a great idea just to allow yourself to be present in your body, no matter what you're doing. Now, one way of doing this, as Owen was talking about, is also always to stay present to your breath. So just taking a deep breath in and a deep breath out, and just allowing yourself several times to connect back to your breath. So really allowing the breath to open up the heart space, open up the chest. Also all around the abdomen. It's really good to help your digestion, and all the way down to the lower abdomen. Just really allowing all the organs to move as the diaphragm moves up and down as you breathe. And another lovely way of just bringing attention to your heart chakra is just to place a hand. Now, please don't do this if you're driving, obviously, but if you're able to use one or both of your hands, you might just like to, as you're breathing, place the hand over the heart chakra. And just having the physical comfort of the hand touching the body is often very, very comforting and very soothing. So the heart chakra is the central chakra if we're looking at the seven main chakras in the body. It's therefore the balancer of all the other chakras. Many people refer to it as the bridge chakra between the lower three chakras, the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus, and the higher three chakras, the higher three main chakras, the throat, the brow, and the crown. So it's the chakra in the middle and resides in the middle of the chest between the fourth and the fifth thoracic vertebrae. This is the traditional place that we may locate the heart chakra, although in every individual it's going to be slightly different. So if that feels not resonant for yourself or somebody you're working with, then please feel free to shift that energy center if you need to do that. So the heart chakra represents the bridge between our physical and spiritual selves, and its function is to balance our whole being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Now, we've been talking about that throughout today's Nature Connections show, and how the heart is actually now becoming recognized, even in the Western world, as one of the main balances of health, and how far-reaching it can be when we allow our heart to actually be the leader in all that we do, think, feel. It's also a very delicate chakra, and possibly the most delicate of all the chakras. And when it is out of balance, it can cause upset to the whole system. So if you're feeling out of sorts and you're not quite sure how to start looking after yourself and feeling better, one way is to actually start with the heart and just bringing your feelings into your heart. So when our heart chakra is open and in balance, and then we can really feel and understand the connection between the mind and the body. And when the heart chakra is closed and out of balance, then the emotions that may arise, as we've already discussed, as Owen did such a wonderful job of talking about earlier on, we may feel grief, we may feel lonely, we may feel anger and confusion. In fact, all sorts of emotions may appear when we are out of touch with our heart centers. The traditional colors that are associated with the heart chakra are green and pink, although other colors may be more appropriate for certain people, but they are the places to start. If you don't know how else to start, start with greens and pinks. So just by using green and pink as a color in itself can be very, very soothing. So if you have those colors in scarves or t-shirts or clothes, bed clothes, pajamas, they're just really easy ways to really start to shift the vibrations in the body. So let's talk about some very easy ways of bringing ourselves back into the heart space. One of the easiest ways, and especially as we're talking here on the Nature Connections show, is about the ability of nature really just to connect us back into our feeling selves. So if you are able, going for a walk into nature, into a peaceful place, possibly where there's trees. Trees are great bringers of peace. Just bear that because of their rootedness, trees are often called the standing people because of their ability to be so full of life, yet they stand still. They're very strong. They hold much courage and endurance. They have huge root systems which are as large as the leaves and the branches that you see above the earth, and they have this ability to stand strong and stay still. So if you can connect with nature, now if you can go out into the nature, now sometimes this is a little tricky if you don't actually live in the countryside, but if you can get access, even by taking yourself out on the bus or the train or driving yourself out into a place where there's trees, where the colour green is surrounding you, then it can really bring peace to the whole of the body through the heart chakra. Whether you can access nature or not, even in your house or in your yard or in your garden or even walking down the concrete, feel the support of the earth. Feel your feet, feel the strength of your bones, actually really holding you together and supporting you. Take deep breaths if you can. Just sit and stop and watch nature, watch the birds, watch the... Here in the UK right now we are in autumn and there's extraordinary light shows at the moment through... There's a special quality of autumn light and how it plays in the leaves. So just watching these small, small things can actually really help to shift you back into your heart space. If this isn't possible for you, accessing nature through a video, through a screensaver on your computer, through beautiful music, there's many, many different ways. A second way that I'd like to recommend to you, which is, again, really easy to do, is to have a journal. Now, at times in my life when I've kept a journal, it always helps massively just to be able to put one's thoughts down onto paper. They're not intended for anybody else to read. They're a way of checking in, way of centering. So maybe next time you go out, it's very easy to get nowadays, lovely bound books for not very much money, that appeal to you, that have a colour that really feel very special to you, and treat yourself to a small journal. And each day, just take a time to be quiet, early morning or just before you go to bed are great times, and just to write down your feelings and get used to talking about how you feel. For many of us, we don't have language for how we feel because we've not actually been taught to use those words. So getting practice of actually saying those words out loud, even if that means on paper, you don't have to physically actually speak them out loud. Just writing them down brings them out of your body and actually manifests them onto paper. So journaling is a wonderful, wonderful way of getting feelings out of your body and into a different energy. And finally, let's talk about some flower essences and essential oils that are very, very easy to use. Now, as I said before, the colours pink and green are the colours that you may like to look at. And for the purposes of today, we're actually going to stay with the colour pink. Now, as I said before, the heart chakra is the balancer of all energy systems in the body. So actually, any flower essence, gem essence, environmental essence or essential oil may actually be the one you need. There is no real prescription here. So consulting with a professional is always a great way forward, but we can also help ourselves. It was one of the wishes of Dr. Batch was that flower essences were accessible in the home to everybody. So it's always a great place to start and you can make huge differences to yourself. So one of the first essences that I always think of when thinking about the heart is the gem essence rose quartz. Now, rose quartz is a beautiful middle pink colour and it's very, very stabilising for heart energies. And as a gem essence, it can be really easily add a drop to your drinking water. Make yourself up a dosage or remedy bottle of essences and sip throughout the day. Rose quartz is a beautiful essence to keep the heart open, and when we're going through challenging times or just living from day to day in today's world, as Owen was talking about as well, it's very easy for the heart to close. So using rose quartz as a gem essence is a wonderful, wonderful way of keeping the heart open. It's an essence that is very resonant with the inner child. So in all of us is a younger person who has experienced and maybe stored in their various energy bodies, feelings, and maybe instants from when they were children. So it's a wonderful way to actually help that small person inside you maybe digest and assimilate some of the experiences that they've never had a chance to do so, and also bring comfort and peace also to the adult. So rose quartz is a great way, a great gem essence. It's made by many flower essence producers, so it's very easy to find. My own range, Moonflower Essences, produces a rose quartz essence, which you can find through my website, moonflowersessences.com. You may also have a gem, rose quartz crystal in your home, and if you haven't, they're usually very, very easy to find. So actually holding the physical stone can also bring great comfort. Rose quartz gem essence can also be placed in your bath water. So for a really relaxing bath, you can also place a couple of drops into your bath water. The second essence I'd like to talk to you about is a flower essence, and this is the pink rose essence. Now, roses, as I'm sure you know, resonate with the heart. They hold that signature of the heart, and they are often given as gifts of love. And we only need to think of Valentine's Day and the symbolism of roses. Now, they're very strong, very grounded, very rooted plants. And so this gives us an indication as well into the energies that they can actually help us endure challenging situations in life. The colour of the rose is going to tell you an awful lot about which part of you that it treats. So today I've chosen the pink rose because it's the colour of the heart. Now again, there are many different flower essence producers that produce rose essences of different colours. Now, a pink rose is going to always have an affinity with the heart. It's always going to have an action of keeping the heart open. One of the symptoms, if you like, of having an agitated heart energy is not being able to sleep that well. So pink rose is a lovely essence to take before you go to sleep. Again, you can put a drop in the water next to your bed. Very safe. There are no contraindications to flower essences. And you can just sip it in the evenings to help your body wind down and prepare for sleep. So pink rose is a lovely essence to keep the heart open, feeling safe. It's a little bit like one of Moonflower Essences have a pink rose essence. And when I first made this essence, I really got the feeling that this essence was like having your favourite teddy bear to cuddle. So if you need that physical feeling of actually being held and actually being supported and comforted, pink rose is beautiful. Again, it's great for children. It's good for tiny babies. If the mother drinks or sips the pink rose essence, this will filter through to the baby. Very, very safe to use. And the third essence I'd like to talk to you about is valerian. Now, valerian is well known as a herbal remedy and also as an essential oil. Now, and some people find valerian as a herbal remedy quite difficult to take. It's very soothing and very calming, and is also known as a pharmaceutical drug as well. But as a herbal remedy, sometimes it doesn't always suit people. As a flower essence, though, you are actually drawing on a much more etheric energy. So if you need calming and soothing, it may be an idea to try some valerian flower essences, because it's not going to have that side effect if you don't get on with the herbal remedy. So valerian, and again, can come in different colours, and I'm going to talk about the pink valerian today. Valerian is an essence, a flower essence, that brings you back into your body. So when we're feeling anxious, grief-stricken, confused, when we close down, often, as we've talked about today, it's very hard to we're not in touch with our physical selves. So valerian will help you feel more comfortable about inhabiting your physical body. And when you are energetically present in your body, it's going to be an awful lot easier for the heart to do the work that the heart is intended to do. So valerian will make it easier for you to come back into your body. When you, as you do, and just by sipping valerian, you can have these feelings of more peace, more joy, soothing, comforting feelings. Again, it's a lovely essence to take before sleep. For some people, valerian, even the flower essence, can relax you quite a lot. So when you're taking it for the first time, take it in the evening so that you can actually feel the full feelings and allow yourself to relax. So putting valerian with some rose quartz or with some pink rose again would be wonderful ways of actually accessing the energy. Valerian is again made by different flower essence producers and is also one of the essences on my own moonflowerescences.com site. If you'd like to find out how to take flower essences, then please go along to my site, essentiallyflowers.com, which is my training site. And if you sign up for the free Getting Started kit, you will actually be able to access some information that will get you started and help you understand how to make up your own essences. And finally, let's just talk a little bit about some essential oils. Now, in my own practice and in my own life, I work with blends of essential oils made by Cat's Eye Blends. And I'd like to talk to you about a blend of lovely, lovely blend of essential oils created to support the heart chakra. It's actually called the Heart Chakra Blend. Now, the essential oils in this blend are ylang ylang, rosemary, petit grain, marjoram, lavender, and clary sage. Now, if you know anything about essential oils, you'll know that they are all very relaxing. They all have a very calming and soothing action on the energy of the heart. Ylang ylang is particularly good for softening anger. Rosemary and petit grain are more uplifting and stabilizing essential oils. Marjoram and clary sage are very strengthening and relaxing, really help the muscles to relax, smooth the flow of energy in the body. And lavender is such a gentle essential oil also in the blend, really harmonizing the blend and reminding us of the comfort of Mother Nature. So these blends are beautiful energies. They are very safe to use, can be used by people with, if you have high or low blood pressure, it is a blend that's very safe to use. As always, please check with your health professionals before, if you do have any concerns about your heart health. But generally speaking, essential oils are very safe to use alongside any other treatments that you may be having. So putting a couple of drops in your evening bath, into room burners, putting a drop in a cream that you actually massage into your chest, into any tight muscles, would be very, very soothing. And you can also access this blend from my own site, my webshop, moonflowerescences.com. So I hope that you've enjoyed listening to today and to today's Nature Connections show, and also to Owen, and two ways of, very easy ways of staying present in your heart and using nature and natural tools to allow you to do that. I'd like, as always, to thank you for listening today. I look forward to speaking to you again next week, where I will be joined by another guest talking about how they connect back to nature and to their inner nature. I'd like to thank Owen McCabe for the interview today, and also to Ian Kenny Music for providing the introductory tune and the music that you hear throughout the Nature Connections shows. So I wish you a beautiful week, enjoying all the beautiful light of nature, here in the Northern Hemisphere if you're experiencing autumn. And if you're lucky enough to be in the Southern Hemisphere and going into summer, I wish you many spring blessings as well. So, as always, nature blessing to you from myself and the Nature Kingdom.